concerned for this blessed Sunday is a joyful heart. A joyful heart. We lost an incredible human being a couple of days ago, an incredible servant of the world. Bob Dorr, Republican, was a great man. And one of my friends who has a PhD in history asked him, if you had to describe Bob Dole, he did the same thing that John Lewis did, asked him the same question. But, so when Bob Dole passed away, how could you describe him? And he said, he always took the right path. And so, in essence, he was always a happy, joyful person. Are you taking the right path this morning? I love that text because it answers so many questions, so many theological, biblical questions people are asking. Pretty much, John the Baptist, how ought we behave? And sometimes we know the answer. But he's asking John, how ought we behave? John basically says, do the right thing. If somebody needs a coat, give them your coat. If somebody needs food. When the soldiers ask, he said, well, don't use your power to intimidate people and to get things from people. Just be the people just be the force you need to be to take care of the evil in the world. And ask the scribe, ask the tax collectors, don't overtax people, because you can, don't take advantage of people. So he has a whole litany of what you ought not do and how you ought to behave. Bob Dole was born in a little town in Kansas, 4,000 people in 1923, I think, in a very racist state of Kansas. Now, he grew up during the Depression, came to Congress, came to the Senate, and by all rights, he should have been a bad boy. He should not have been concerned about children who were hungry, should not have been concerned about people of color, but he always took the right path. And there's nobody who could say that he was more concerned about poverty than people. There's nobody who could, you might have disagreed with him on policy, on principle, anything else. But his main concern, in the same legacy of the great ones like John Lewis, his main concern as a public servant was to make sure people had what they needed. Having been born during the Depression, he knew what it means to be challenged, to be hungry, to worry about whether or not you're going to be able to feed your babies. He understood and knew that. He's born in the Midwest in the Dust Bowl. He knew people were running from the earth. The earth was not producing. They were running, trying to go somewhere else, and he knew people were struggling. So when they talked about food for children and programs and stuff, he was trying to think of it. When they talked about civil rights, this Republican was even greater than the Southern Dixiecrats. He fought for civil rights because he understood that all people, regardless of skin color, regardless of religion, all people deserve the same rights. So he had a joyful heart, even when he lost his bid to be president. Had a joyful heart, even when he lost, he was on the vice presidential ticket. He lost, but yet he lived his 30-something years in Congress full of joy because he understood that he was a servant of God. He understood that he had to serve people, and so he had that joy in his heart. And the text is telling us, you don't get that joy playing church. You don't get that joy lying about the service you do. You don't get that joy faking it. You get that joy when you are real, genuine and real. And even when people don't want to hear about being real, the greatest threat to the church growth is people don't want to deal with being real. Fake it. There's a saying, fake it till you make it. You can't do that as a Christian. Don't fake it till you make it. You gotta make it. You gotta have a strong desire in your heart and soul to be a Christian. And when you do the right thing, no matter what the outcome is, you have joy in your heart. Because guess what? You can go to sleep at night. You know you have not cheated or defrauded or hurt anybody. You know you have not said anything negative about somebody. How easy it is for us to talk about people when they get on our nerve for doing something right. He's always about the check, being the first one to shout the right check. He thinks he's somebody.
Well, they asked us to give money, give $10 for the angel tree. He gave $100. He wasn't who he think he is. You know what I'm talking about. When somebody shames us or holds up a mirror in front of us by doing the right thing, we want to turn down. But in truth, keep your mouth shut. You ain't got to turn down. Just shut up and do what you always have done. But when you do the right thing, you're looking for ways to serve God. When you do the right thing, you're looking for ways to be filled with joy. When you come and you buy an angel tree, you're happy to do that. You know that you could be in that same situation. When you fill a food basket, you're joyful and happy that God's giving you the resource to do that. You don't do it angrily or just shove it at somebody. You give it. Because I'm telling you, when you go out to get food, how you look at people makes a difference. It makes an awesome difference. I was 13 years old when my mother, raising 9 kids, widowed. And they came to our little shack to put a box on the porch. And they shoved it on the porch and looked at us and looked at me as if I had no value. It was 20 years before I could even think of the church. My mother made me go, but where was my heart and soul? I couldn't think of the church because of the way they looked at me when they shoved that food basket on the porch. And I promised myself that day that whatever I was able to give somebody, I would give it with joy. I would give it with love. I would care about giving it to them. I wouldn't just shove it on them. I wouldn't make them feel like they were nothing. Because how you treat people in this life matters. It matters how you look at people. It matters how you share people. It matters how you love people. And I promise you, if your heart is going to be, if you're going to have a joyful heart, everything you do has got to be positive for God. That means watch your wicked tongue. Some of us slice people to pieces in fun. You know I'm only kidding. You don't know how thick somebody's scar tissue is. When you talk about somebody, whether it be their weight or their color or their, whatever you say about somebody, you don't know how they've been scarred in the past. You don't know what burdens them. So if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Amen? If you can't build somebody up, do not tear them down. We don't know what life is going to bring to us every day, but we know if we approach it positively, we approach it with believing that whatever happens today, me and Jesus got this. Whatever happens today, I know my back is covered. Whatever happens today, I know when I call Reverend Jones, he's going to be there. I know he ain't gonna say, well, Reverend, you blew your money again. I ain't got $10. Amen. Getting quiet in here. Getting quiet in here. We're talking about having somebody's back, and that's what we're called to do. Have each other's back. Even when I make a dumb mistake. Even when I do something stupid. Even though they told me not to go to Tourism. Told me not to go. And I'm crawling back, ain't got no, just my car just squeaking back, no gas. And my children are hungry. And the lights gotta be paid, and I know I gotta call somebody. Are they gonna say, you fool? Are they gonna say, don't do that again? I got your back. We all make mistakes. And if you've not made one, I want you to call Oprah. Because she can do a real special on you. If you have not been disappointed, call somebody and get a special television show. Life brings us stuff. And like my wife says, when life gets you lemons, squeeze them little suckers and tell them who's boss. I love that saying. When life gives you lemons, you do that. Because when life gives me lemons, I just want to pout. I just want to whine and cry. But we have to face adversity every day with joy in our heart and soul. And how do we do that though? We are sustained by memory of what God has done. If you have married your soulmate and it doesn't bring you joy thinking about that wedding day, whether you went to see the judge or whether you had a wedding, if that doesn't bring you joy, you're already overcome with sadness. You can't make it. If when they brought out your child, your first child, boom, when that child comes out and then somebody says he or she is whole and healthy, if that doesn't ring your bell, you got trouble. If you're able to purchase your first house and walk through the doors, the first day, if that didn't bring it, there's so many things that our memory banks, relationships with friends, even some funerals that made us think. If we can't be sustained by the memories of who we are, if that doesn't bring us joy, then we're doomed. There's always something that can make you laugh. When think about your grandchildren, your children. And my granddaughter already thinks I'm not being on the road. She won't tell me that. But she says, Papa, you ought not be on the road. He can't see. And his mind's always somewhere else. Gigi, get him. Don't let him go anywhere. If that doesn't bring you joy, at least you know your grandchild is thinking about you. Your grandchild is thinking about not what you can give her, but she's thinking about your well-being. If we understand how God has so woven this world together, we know that we're intricately woven as friends and in relationships, and all the things that we do matter. So if we understand that they matter, we have this awesome and abiding joy that we're able to laugh through defeat, we're able to laugh through pain and alienation. And I'm telling you, folk, life never gets easier. But it gets better with Jesus on your side. It gets better knowing that no matter what you're feeling, somebody gonna give you a call. When some church member calls you just to see how you're doing, and you know you ain't deserved, you ain't called nobody in 4 years. And you get loaded with calls, you know you ain't deserved. Somebody sends you a gift, and you haven't given anything in forever. Somebody gives you something, not because they want anything from you, because they are saying, my heart is filled with joy, I love and care about you, and I'm sensitized to your needs. What else do you need, brother or sister? What do you need? Do you have a joyful heart? Are you willing to be joyful? Or do you just want to whine? You just want to have a pity party? Lay all out. Get your 40 and lay all out. Life ain't treating me right. On this job, I've been working all the time, and it made legal or the straw boss. I should have had it. Boy. So it's just the head usher. They don't even smile. I should be the head usher. Whatever. We applaud somebody else's rise. We don't put them back down. Like crabs in a bucket, there are times when we just yank at people. But if we push up and lift the folk up, everybody would have a chance to rise. Joy in your heart, joy in your soul means that you understand life is a precious gift. I love the Lion King soundtrack. And one of the songs talks about from the moment you arrive on the planet and blinking, step into the sun, there's more to see than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. That's awesome stuff. God has created a vast world with all these awesome, wonderful experiences, and we're reaching and grabbing. We can't do it all. We're so excited. You can either reach and grab and get involved in excitement, or sit there and whine about it. It's too much to look at, too much to do. What's your attitude going to be? We have a world, folk. Have you noticed the rainbow sign? Have you seen a rainbow? Have you noticed spotted weaving and webs? Have you noticed the morning dew first bloom, roses first, robins building their nest? There's so many things that we just tend to not see. I talk to soldiers, and I can tell a lot about you asking soldiers one question. All the places you've been, tell me about your experiences. The persons who understand and love life, even though they might have been in conflict and battle, They talk about all the vast things, whether it's mountains or forests. God has allowed them to see something nobody has seen. And they get excited about how even in Vietnam or even in France, they get excited about where God has placed them. That's one side. On the other side, I didn't pay attention to nothing. It's just like here, you know, I just want to get on. Your attitude determines your altitude. What do you see? And what do you miss? Because if you don't open your eyes, you'll always be blind. Don't open your eyes, you will miss God's joy, God's beauty, and you can't have any joy in your heart if you don't open your eyes. And be flexible enough to change. I've had to change my idea, my opinion about many things in my years of living. I got friends that so set in concrete that you gotta blow them up to change. Even when they know they're living a lie, even when they know they're wrong, they would never ever admit it. Life is not that way. Sometimes you gotta just say, I know I'm wrong. Sometimes you gotta just say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you just gotta say, please forgive me. Because what the text does teach us is, if God does, he's gonna do. He's gonna do the pruning. He's gonna clean you up. He's willing to get you ready if you want to be ready. He's willing to dress you up if you're worth dressing up. He's willing to love you even if you're not loved. That's who we are. And if we're going to have joy in our hearts, the last thing I want to tell you, you can't pass on what you ain't got. If you want to pass on the legacy of joy and love to your children and grandchildren, act like it. If Paul is whining and cussing and fussing and complaining every time they see Paul, that's what they're going to pass on. That's what they're going to be. But if they see Paul, mama is loving and forgiving. Firm enough to hold them accountable, but loving enough to love them. It's going to make a difference in who they are. Because first, I'll tell you, folks, before you can clean me up, you got to love me. And some people are always trying to fix you before they even love you. In order to hold somebody accountable, you gotta first hold them. Are you willing to hold God's people in the hollow of your hands? Are you willing to love all God's people? I got a file, a scrapbook of words and things people have sent me at my lowest times. I got one box was stuff goes, you know, I'm feeling good. That's a box, just put your stuff over. But the people always know. God always has a way of letting folk know that Reverend needs a card today. A Sister Jackson needs a card. A Brother John needs a card today. And I promise you, at the lowest points of your life, you'll always get a knock from God that says, you matter. I care about you. I love you. I know you're going through something, but guess what? There are mighty cloud of witnesses surrounding you who love you and who care about you. And they represent the church. And when they represent the church, nobody can hurt it. I used to volunteer at Lakeshore Camp for summer camps. And some of the wealthier people would send their kids to just about every camp to get them out of the air. And Josh was a little special needs child who come to camp. And Josh had a brother who was like a Greek god. Blonde hair, blue eyes, 6'3" football player. I mean, he was, when he got off the bus, even the guys were wow. His brother was killed coming home from a party. And Josh's daddy came in the room and looked down on Josh and said, it should have been you. When he came to camp and told that story, our counselor, the head of the camp, just couldn't believe it. You know, especially his child, he must have misread his dad. But the boy knew what his daddy said to him. So our desire that week was to make sure that he was loved and appreciated beyond measure. So we put him in family groups. And we gave him one assignment, build a church. You can't use twigs and leaves, dirt, whatever you use. You can't use anything artificial to build this church. And so in his group, the boys weren't all that kind, but
we saw him working methodically on building his church, and they weren't doing anything. But when we had to finally get to see the churches, it was amazing what this little boy had crafted. Even the bully boys in his group was just amazed and shocked at the church that he had shaped and formed. And even though his dad had said it to him, he was always full of joy and always looking at life positively. I happened to be in the same cabin with him, with his team, and I heard this blood-curdling scream late at night, and I just knew that some animal had broken through the doors and grabbed one of my kids, and I jump up, and I run that way, and in the bathroom, there's Josh, and in the commode is his church. And he's sitting there screaming and crying, and he picks that church up out of all the stuff in that commode. And he's wiping, trying to clean the church up. And one by one, other little boys look and walk to him. And even a bully who won't try to laugh, it, like it got stuck in his throat, even a bully came over, and all the boys was frantically trying to clean the crap off of that church. And I'm thinking, you know, something, this is a holy moment. I wish I could sing something. And then Josh started singing, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." Well, that's a friend of mine. And we all started singing, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." And it was the holiest song I've heard sung. Because it showed me and it showed the children that even when the world throws crap on your church, throws junk on your church, that together as a family of God, we can keep the church clean. And we can keep the joy in our hearts. And nothing can prevail against us. And that's God's word to us. Amen. Amen. Amen.